Hey, everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest, and you guys all know John. I mean, you can't not know John. John Jance is the founder of Duct Tape Marketing and also the author of a book by the same name. He has probably single-handedly transformed so many folks who wanted to get into their own business and maybe solo entrepreneurs, or even I've heard from executives at companies who utilize a lot of his practices to better their craft while they were at the company. So, you know, it's just a wonderful, if you guys haven't been over to John's site, and how long have you been up and running on this now, John?
You know, I actually flipped the switch on the site ducttapemarketing.com 17 years ago.
17. Oh my gosh. So granted, there's a lot of information out there and he keeps it fresh and interesting. So I'll put his link to all of his connections over there at Duct Tape Marketing. But that's not the reason why we have this call today with John. We're here to talk about John's new book, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul and Grow Your Business. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Well, thanks, Mary Lou. Glad to be here.
So, 366. To cover leap year, huh? Is that the...
I did. I have a brother that was born March 1st in a non-leap year. Had it been leap year, his birthday would have been February 29th. And so I don't want to miss all those people that are born February 29th, or they wake up and it's February 29th because it's a leap year. And, you know, they want their daily meditation.
Yeah, there you go. So the book, tell us about what got you along this path. We were sharing before we got on the call how there are some daily meditation books in a variety of different fields and in a variety of different soul feeding, as I call them. And I used to have one on my desk all the time that I read every single day. So when I saw that you had done this book, first question is, you know, what got you interested in putting out a book like this?
Well, the format's not new. I didn't invent it, obviously, and it's pretty proven. I mean, 15 years ago or so, I used to read the Daily Drucker, which was a business book that was essentially somebody had gone and curated all of Peter Drucker's, the management consultant and author's writings, and put it into a daily thing. And I liked Peter Drucker a lot, and so, you know, that was a book I was familiar with. My grandmother worked for Unity Village all of her life, and she used to every Christmas give us a publication they put out called The Daily Word. And it really, there's something about that idea of a short, hopefully inspirational, but certainly positive reading to start the day. I put it into my morning routine. I always have. I read, you know, Wayne Dyer and, you know, people like that, every day kind of morning type of thing, because I feel like it's one of the best ways to start. It's like breakfast is the most important meal, like our parents used to say, or my mom used to say. Feeding your soul, you know, or first thing in the day is probably the most important thing you can do.
Oh, I love the morning kind of rituals of things. And part of what I teach even in predictable prospecting is this daily habit, you know, building micro habits to get to the ultimate habit of being a good prospector and consistent prospector. And it starts with a daily rhythm. And I love this idea. So, but what is the self-reliant part of the meditation book that you put together?
Well, sure. So it borrows, and maybe I should tell you the structure of the pages. So every day starts with a title of a page, you know, kind of a big concept. Then a reading from a vein of mid-19th century literature that I think today is still some of the best entrepreneurial writing ever. And then 150 words from me, maybe contextualizing it a little bit around my experience. And then I actually give you a question to ponder every day as well. So there's a lot going on each of these short little pages. So the self-reliant part actually borrows from a very well-known essay written by Ralph Waldo Emerson called Self-Reliance. And it's one of those that you often see quoted on, you know, Pinterest boards and Instagram and things. So there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are familiar with that writing from that time period. But once I dove into that, and I've always been a fan of that writing, but you start looking at the literature even that a lot of people are familiar with, like Thoreau's, Walden, and, you know, I already mentioned Self-Reliance by Ralph Waldo Emerson. But a lot of a lot of the fiction that we were asked to read in that time period, Moby Dick, Scarlet Letter, you know, Little Women, all had characters that were the protagonists of each of those works were all very self-reliant or you know, realize I need to go out there and trust myself, you know, realize what I do control and don't control, and that I have a unique gift to bring to the world. And again, why did I pick that vein? If you think about kind of what was going on in America at that time, we were on the cusp of the Civil War. We were, you know, women were marching in the streets to get the right to be heard or to vote. You know, we were trying to abolish slavery. And so it was really the first counterculture period in America. And the writing that came out of that period was very much, hey, you need to think for yourself. You know, we got ourselves in this, you know, sort of cultural and political divide because, you know, we didn't trust ourselves. We listened to politicians and we listened to our preachers and we listened to the people that told us we had to do, you know, a certain thing. When what we really have to do is just kind of find our own truth and figure out where we fit in the world. And so that was revolutionary thinking, you know, right, 150 years ago. But I still think it is some of the best advice for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs have always been kind of, I'm going to go out there and do my own thing. But I think that we also, you know, the human condition suggests that we also suffer from the fear and the doubt and the, you know, people who, you know, tell us we can't make it and the stress of, you know, trying to get by every day. And so, you know, kind of having this idea of trusting yourself and trusting your ideas and bringing your ideas to the world and, you know, blocking what other people say out. It's not the same as being a loner and going it alone. It's a trusting yourself to know when you're getting good advice, when you're getting bad advice, when you need to listen, when you need to, you know, shut up.
Yeah, right. And I think a lot of it too is that trusting in ourselves is a big one, in our gut, you know, really listening to that, and not being so influenced by what's happening out there in the world and the pressures of the world. I mean, I read a title of, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, you know, this is 2019 when we're recording this. It's crazy out there right now with our political divide. And the title, the headline was, "Kindness is trying to make a comeback."
Right.
It's just like,
Well, Mary Lou, I would be remiss if I didn't suggest that I think we are experiencing maybe a similar period to what we were experiencing in the 1850s. And a lot of historians suggest that these things kind of cycle. And I think entrepreneurs have always been sort of the source of goodness and, you know, trying to cure the world's ills and, you know, trying to bring their thing to life, you know, and bring value to other people. And I think, you know, more entrepreneurs armed with kind of this idea of self-reliance, you know, may actually be one of the paths to kind of creating a little more unity in the world.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I know that in reading these daily kind of, I call them affirmations, but, you know, this daily sort of pumping up of the spirit within you and really changing the narrative to how do I add more value? That is the goal of an entrepreneur to begin with, is how do I add more value? What else do you think this book could help in terms of entrepreneurs developing either their brand or their purpose?
Well, I want to also suggest that you know, a lot of this idea of self-reliance means a huge dollop of empathy as well, because what we're really trying to do is go out there and just experience things and find our own path and our own truth. And sometimes that means, and Emerson, you know, famously kind of said, hey, you get to change your mind. I think the thing that holds a lot of people back is, you know, they don't want to disappoint people who already have decided you're this or that, or you can do this or you can't do that. Right. And I think that if you have this view that my life is a complete journey evolving, it's never done. You know, my whole goal is, or my whole job is to continue to grow. And, you know, if you have all the answers already and you're not open to new things, well, you know, how can you possibly grow? I've actually said that I think one of our jobs as entrepreneurs is to prove ourselves wrong. Because, you know, like I said, if we already know all the answers, then we're not going to grow.
So what were some of the things that you learned as you were putting together and curating the actual pages of this book?
Sure. Well, so there were names that I've thrown out, some names that most people, you know, have heard of: Nathaniel Hawthorne and Walt Whitman and, Thoreau and Emerson, Margaret Fuller, maybe. But one of the things I learned is because I had to have 366 entries. So I went very deep into the literature of this era. And I just met so many authors, or were introduced to so many authors that I was not familiar with, particularly female authors. It was actually important for me to represent as many female voices in this book as possible. And that was a challenge, given the time. I mean, a lot of women were not allowed to actually publish publicly or to be involved in editing, newspapers and things. And so a lot of their works only came out, much later, far after their deaths. And so I dove into journals and letters. One of the things that was that was kind of fun about that era and eras past is, people wrote beautiful letters back and forth to each other. And so these letters were often collected later into memoirs and to collections. And so, there's just how expansive these themes were, throughout, was certainly one of the things, and then learning about new things. But then the other thing that just struck me time and again was how often I would read a passage and say, there's no way that was written 150 years ago. Thoreau was talking about, not frittering away your time on Facebook. That's what he was talking about. How did he write that 150 years ago? And I think it just suggests that the human condition hasn't changed. We have all this technology and all this stuff that we blame, for all of our stress and our woes, but it's really the human condition, hasn't changed at all.
Let's expand on that. When you say the human condition, you mean the way we think, feel, act?
Absolutely. We still care about what others think, and we're still, wake up every day and wonder, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And, the tools and the things that, that we use now to, because we're bored or whatever it is, maybe have changed. But the fact that the vast amount of us are not actually being true to our dream and chasing the thing that we were meant to be discovering and then chasing the thing we were meant to do, is something that I think is gone throughout time.
What is your thoughts on the busyness of today versus back then? Is it a different kind of busyness? Were they just luxuriating in life? I hear that so much, that people are so busy now. How does that relate to what you've discovered through your curating?
I don't think we're any busier today than we were. I think we are focused on different things. We no longer have to build our houses and make our clothes and, butcher our meat. That's all done for us now. But that's certainly what took up a significant amount of people's time in the mid-19th century. But now, we certainly are frittering the sand. There's a great Thoreau passage, that talks about this idea of how, people are so, he was talking about it then, so involved in commerce and making money and doing the things that they think they're supposed to do that, they're not living their lives. And I think today, that is absolutely just been replaced by, I've already picked on Facebook. I'll do it again. That's been replaced by, the social media and the news, cycle that's wearing us out. And the things that we do, I think, out of addiction and out of boredom, more than actually going out and seeking, real experiences with real people.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a generational gap here that you want to talk about? I mean, you and I have been doing this for a while now, but if my kids just coming out of college, how would they benefit from a book like this, do you think?
Well, so it's funny. As writing, this book was so different for me. Like a lot of authors, I was like, does this make sense? So early on, I'm sharing it with people of different generations. I happen to have four millennial children. So I was sharing with them, and just a little side note, they actually, if you are reading along and you come to a certain date, four times throughout the book, I have four daughters, they wrote the entry for their birthday. I got a little contribution from them. But to answer your question, I find that I'm in the tail end of the baby boomers. You know, the next generation coming along, I think, right behind me, you know, looks at this book and I think starts to think, or is starting to think about impact. You know, what impact have I had? What difference have I made? And those themes certainly run through this book. The millennial or, you know, younger generation that I've shared this with, I think is very energized by the positive message, is actually very interested in the literature. You know, I think they're far enough removed from when they were forced to read, you know, some of this, that they now start looking at applying this, you know, the context of this literature to what they're now doing in their own careers or in their own life. And I feel like they come to it with a lot of energy, and people, you know, in an older generation come to it a little more as that, you know, that, like you said, feeding the soul, you know, kind of looking back and reflecting, and seeing this as, in some ways, you know, in some ways, this is a book that took me 30 years to write. So it is a, you know, a pure sort of reflection on my total experience. And I see folks that have been in the game for a little while that are starting to kind of look at that as well.
And I think, like you said, you know, the self-reflection, seeing how life was then, that it really hasn't changed all that much in the sense of human behavior. And that transforms, I think, anyone who's reading these passages to really get an understanding of their purpose, the, you know, the brand purpose, their purpose, why they serve, how they add value, and that the struggles that we experience today are really no different. Like you said, change the media, change the channel of what it is that's affecting us. But at the end of the day, belly to belly, we're people to, you know, person to person communication. And we it's impossible to lose sight of that, that we really are human to human in all of our interactions, whether we're entrepreneurs or not. I just love this idea. So how long does it take? You know, I can already hear my audience. Well, we don't have time to read a whole book. So what is, you know, what is like a daily rhythm that you think would be nice for consuming?
Yeah. So the beauty of this book is you don't read it. You know, in fact, I can't imagine picking this book up and reading it cover to cover, because every day is just a nugget for you to think about. So I like to tell people to think of this as a practice more than a book, so that you know, pick up today's reading and you read that and you think about, you know, if that makes sense. I said we have a challenge question at the end of every day. My publisher allowed me to put a couple lines at the bottom of each of those so that you can actually jot some notes there as you're thinking about it, or take it into the day and just kind of witness how it shows up in your day. Because I think that's the real key. You know, if we don't have sort of some sort of intention setting, you know, for every day, then you go out there and you know, life hits you in the face. And next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock and you go, I don't know, I do what I did today, but I sure was busy.
We call it winging it.
Yeah. But I think having like that thought to think about each day, what it does is then as things happen, you know, maybe you start to go, oh, that's how that applies to, you know, what I'm doing today. Because you're not going to read a book like this and go, I've totally nailed this. I'm self-reliant. You know,
right, exactly.
And that's true of any book. I mean, think about the books that really impact you. I've gone back and read so many books 10, 12, 15 times, and they have a different meaning to me because I'm a different person. Well, I think that's the idea behind this, is this, that, and that's why I call it a practice. You know, and you know, salespeople, a lot of times, not all, but, you know, when you're out there prospecting, sometimes, you know, you're facing a lot of rejection, you're facing a lot of other people's negativity sometimes. And so kind of arming yourself with a little bit of a shield, you know, maybe for that, or really more than that, allowing you hopefully to react to it in a different way, because that's the only thing we really control when it really comes down to it. You know, how we show up and how we choose to respond to everything that happens every day is the only thing we control. And so, you know, hopefully this book gives you a little, maybe, or, you know, you find some passage that hits you in a particular way that day, and it helps you better respond and process, you know, other people's problems and input and feedback.
So, and it's called, you know, daily meditation. So there are lessons embedded in the passages that you read every day that you internalize, you self-reflect, you observe during the day. I mean, this is going to be an interesting kind of practice for those people who do get up and just go and don't think about where they're going or how they're going to get there. This is probably a must read for those people who do want to incorporate heart, hand, as well as head during the day and, you know, get all the balance that they need. Do you have like a favorite passage that you can read us or a daily meditation you can read to us?
Well, that's like asking me if I'm a favorite child.
Okay. Then just randomly pick one then.
I'm sure that if I went through and I go, oh yeah, I really particularly like that one. But yeah. I went really deep in this literature. And so these are not social media quotes, you know, I mean, these are things, like I said,
Instagram things. Right. Quotes,
this is a little deeper. And to tell you the truth, Marilyn, maybe the best way to give people an example is I'll just read one an entire day.
Perfect.
It takes like 2 minutes. So that it'll give your listeners an exact idea of not only of the content, but of how long it would take them to read one and reflect. So let's do it. So I just pulled one up. It starts with a title and then a reading from the literature, and then 150 or so words from me and a challenge question. So here we go.
Okay. All right.
Failure's message. However mean your life is, meet it and live it. Do not shun it and call it hard names. It is not so bad as you are. It looks poorest when you are richest. The fault finder will find faults even in paradise. Love your life, poor as it is. You may perhaps have some pleasant, thrilling, glorious hours, even in a poorhouse. The setting sun is reflected from the windows of the almshouse as brightly as from the rich man's abode. The snow melts before its door as early in the spring. I do not see but a quiet mind may live as contentedly there and have as cheering thoughts as in a palace. That's from Henry David Thoreau's Walden, 1854.
Wow. Amazing.
To my reflection on it. So let's face it. At some point, everybody gets knocked down. Things don't always go as planned. But it's how you handle adversity that will become the ultimate expression of your success. There are only so many things you have control over, and number one on that list is how you think and feel about daily events. We can't control the weather, what others say about us, or when someone decides to rip our ideas off as their own. We can't control failure or paradise. We can only decide what we want to learn from it, and the lessons are countless. In some cases, what we see as failure is a mistake or error in judgment on our part coming home to roost. Or it could just be something we weren't quite ready to pull off in precisely the manner we chose. But either way, there's a lesson if we wish to accept it. The fantastic thing about growing as an entrepreneur is that you either flame out through resistance of things like change and failure and, hard work, or you learn to accept that all is as it should be. The key is to love the setting sun from where you are right now. Or you'll always find it hard to love the setting sun, no matter how high you soar by some other person's gauge of your success.
Amen.
Your challenge question for today, who is one entrepreneur you deeply admire? Why?
Nice. Yeah, great. I think I definitely would be, that would be sitting on my desk to come in and read in the morning before I start my day.
Yeah. And I think it can be part of a larger practice. I mean, I have for years spent some time every morning meditating, journaling, you know, reading. I try to throw exercise in every morning. So, I mean, I have about an hour that I, or an hour and a half in some cases that I take pretty much every morning for myself. And for those people that go, wow, I don't have an hour and a half, I contend that it gives me more time back than it uses in terms of me being more focused and productive.
And then I would add to that, because my troops here understand that concept of, you know, micro habits, that we build. We're not going to get to that hour and a half necessarily, not all of us. So let's build one thing. And I always talk about my push-up and pull-up, you know, goals. And then I started with one push-up. Now I'm up to 25 and I still am kind of struggling on the pull-up thing, but but I'm getting there, you know. So I think this is something that we're going to add to our daily rhythm. And it's so important to sit in the, I like the morning. Some people like the evening, but sit down and just reflect. And that's really, this book is great for that. I love it. Yeah, and I'm so glad that you did this.
I actually do morning and evening because I find that, that, you know, if you reflect back, you take that evening out, the whole day's happened to you. It's like, okay, what did I learn from today? But again, like you said, micro steps. And you know, I this was the hardest book I've ever written by far. It was the most fun, and I'm thrilled to bring it to the world, and hopefully it will spread some, or as Emerson said, scatter some joy.
Scatter some joy. So the book again, folks, is The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul and Grow Your Business. John, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing this. I'll put all the links. I know there's probably a selfreliantentrepreneur.com out there or something.
There is.
So that, yes, there is. There you go. So that we can make sure that we put that in the show notes. Anything else you want to add before we say goodbye and thank you for your time?
No, I think we've said it, you know, pretty much all, as you said, the selfreliantentrepreneur.com is where you can find more on the book. And obviously it is available wherever you choose to buy books. There'll be a Kindle version as well as an audiobook version.
Nice. So this is published by Wiley. So we'll see it at the bookstore too, correct?
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, John, thanks again. Remember guys, he's over at Duct Tape Marketing as well. There's a ton of information and on that site that helps with business development, sales executives, marketers. You pretty much cover everything over there. So the well-rounded entrepreneur who's both marketing, operations, servicing, and sales, you are covered by John's site, Duct Tape Marketing. Thanks again, John. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure.